Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Welcome in to another edition of the Jayhawk Talk Podcast. I am Kevin. Joined with me, as always, my podcast co-host, partner in Jayhawk Crime, Andrew. How you doing, Andrew?
I am doing pretty good, except a couple things. I am covered in beer.
Okay.
Because I just got back from the Power and Light District, I watched...
Time out. Every time one goes to the Power and Light District, they come back covered in beer. You don't have to qualify it with what you did.
Yeah, that's true.
But go ahead and qualify.
I don't go down there very often. But I went to the USA soccer game versus Portugal. And so I figured, you know what? I saw the pictures from the other game, the Ghana game. I was like, okay. So I knew a couple of folks who were going down there. So I said, okay, I'm going to go down there to watch the Portugal game. And it was an experience, Kevin. Mm-hmm. I think I've got that out of my system. I don't think I have to do that again. It was a great time, except there were – it was just – I think the fire marshals all had heart attacks, and that's why they weren't dealing with all the people. But literally, you couldn't move anywhere. And when we scored those two goals, literally, I think the two guys in front of me bought beers just to throw them in the air for goals. So, like, they were full beers, and I'm like, oh, we just scored a goal. We better go get two more beers so we can throw them up in the air when we score again.
Makes sense.
So needless to say, the gentleman in front of me basically in a roundabout way poured an entire Miller Lite all over my head.
Why has it got to be Miller Lite?
I don't know. Yeah, and so I still smell like Miller Lite.
Okay. I mean, if you're going to pour a beer out, that's a good one to choose. So I guess that's maybe the reason they did it.
But anyway... the ending, I don't know if you saw the ending, Kevin.
I did. I was watching it, yes.
Reminded me of some heartbreaking KU losses in the past.
Mm. It was like a buzzer beater.
It was a Trey Burke buzzer beater.
Yeah.
Except you tied. We didn't lose. That's tied.
True. It felt like
but
a
it was still heartbreaking. So that's the soccer talk and probably the most extensive soccer talk we're ever going to do here on Jayhawk Talk. But I just want to tell you how I'm doing. I'm a little tired. I'm a little covered in beer.
That's fine.
There you go.
Well, you know, there's worse things to be. Let's talk a little rundown here on this podcast. We wanted to get together this week, early this week, because the NBA draft is on Thursday. We wanted to make sure that we had a little NBA draft talk podcast because, Andrew, of course, we have two guys who are projected to go early in the draft, one a little more interesting now than the other. We also wanted to talk to you a little bit about the KU football track being gone. We're going to talk about that a little bit. We also wanted to give you a play-by-play of fake Jeff Withey's wedding, which we went to, because it was interesting because the real Jeff Withey was there and fake Jeff Withey. Only one of them got married. It was the fake one. But anyway, we want to talk to you a little bit about that. And then, of course, we got our man Reed Forgrave from Fox Sports. He is a college hoops writer, but is also covering the NBA draft for Fox Sports and Fox Sports 1. We're going to have him on to talk about Wiggins and Embiid and the NBA draft as well. But let's get started first, Andrew, talking a little NBA draft. And we got some news this week that wasn't too good.
It was actually
our KU boys.
It was pretty bad. Yeah. It was not necessarily worst case scenario because I think folks like Isaiah Austin are suffering the worst case scenario,
but it
was pretty bad. We learned that Joel Embiid has a stress fracture or had a stress fracture. I guess it's fixed. I don't know, but in his foot and had to undergo surgery. So I'm sure most of you are caught up on that. The surgery happened last Friday. We're taping this on a Sunday. So, you know, literally 6 days before the draft, he has to have surgery. It looks like he's going to be out 4 to 6 months. Could be longer. Doesn't look good.
Yeah, big bummer, that because of when the surgery was held, of course, he wanted to get it going as soon as possible, but as a result, he can't go to the draft. As a result of the draft, surgery, I think he has to be grounded, can't fly in a plane for like 15 days. So he will not be at the NBA draft to hear his name called. Kind of a bummer.
Which is too bad because he's kind of pretty good in front of a camera.
Yeah.
I think he's pretty funny, and I'd like to see what his reaction would be, you know, when his name is called and he walks up there. So maybe they'll have some sort of camera on him wherever he is, and he can do his funny thing. But, you know, that's disappointing. But not only does he not get to participate, he's actually not projected to go number one anymore. He's,
no.
He's kind of sliding. If you go online and you look on the sport, you know, sports betting websites, they have him at 6.5 as the over-under position.
Interesting.
What do you think that is? What would you take on that 6.5 over-under Joel Embiid draft?
That's tough. I think that's pretty close. I'm going to go with – I think I'm going to take the over. I think
you're going to take the over.
I think it's going to go later than that. I really do.
Later than six.
Everything you're hearing, I mean, we'll talk to Reed later, but if I were to talk to Reed and have pre-recorded that interview, he thinks the Lakers are a good possibility at seven. I think that'd be interesting. I mean, he's been to LA. He's been kind of sitting courtside at some games. He likes the Lake. He likes LA. Might be an interesting choice there at seven. But I don't think he gets past the top 10. What about you? Are you taking that little, are you going earlier?
I think he goes to the Magic at four.
Oh,
and that would set him up with your boy, Jacques Vaughn, my boy too. But you've been extremely vocal on the podcast before, Kevin, about, all KU players ending up in Orlando. So one, so they could be with Jacques Vaughn, but two, and most importantly, so you can revive the Kevin buying every single
pinstripe magic jersey
of reliving your glory days of NBA in the 90s.
What I really want, like I said, is for Wiggins and Embiid to end up on the Magic, which things are setting up that way. You know, if for some reason, because the Magic have two picks in the top 12, who knows, they got a little firepower to move up. It could happen.
It's not going to happen.
Okay. All right.
Because Andrew Wiggins is likely going to go one or two. But gun to your head, Kevin, where does he go, one or two?
I think he goes number one.
You think he goes number one? Okay. Yeah. There's some sources out there that, you know, the Cavs have decided on Jabari Parker, but I don't know if that's necessarily the truth.
Yeah, it makes it interesting. You know, this time of year, just with any professional sports draft, everything you hear is probably nonsense. And it's a lot of smoke screens and things like that. But I don't know. I think that Jabari Parker is probably the safe pick at one because you kind of know what you're getting. But Wiggins' upside is so great that it'd be really hard not to take him there, especially with an established point guard already on the team, someone who can get Wiggins the ball. It might be an interesting situation there at the Cavs.
Oh, yeah. The Cavs, with LeBron possibly coming back, and with it, you know, he kind of plays the same position as LeBron, but, you know, this has the potential of setting up to be an amazing team in the future. But I'm excited to see. I'm a little disappointed in how this Embiid stuff has worked out, but I don't know. It'll be an interesting Thursday night, and, you know, that's the same day as the other USA Soccer game.
That's true.
It's going to be a crazy sports day here coming up in a couple days.
Indeed. Well, that will be interesting. Do you have any, I mean, we talked about predictions. Is there a best case scenario, you think, for Embiid? You're more of an NBA guy than I am. So let's talk about, let me ask you, what's the worst case scenario? We're just talking as a team. Like, where do you not want him to go? And where would you like to see him go? I mean, you can give me a couple options here.
Well, I think that Embiid needs to go to a team where he can develop, because it's better for him to be on the floor than be sitting on the sidelines. So, and maybe this is me just talking, but I don't know if Milwaukee's the best place for him. Sacramento, that's kind of where KU players go to die. But I mean, if you put him in a strong program, maybe with the Celtics or maybe 76ers, prepare him with a Nerlens Noel. And of course, Orlando, just for the sake of appeasing you, Kevin. I think those are good spots for him. But anywhere, I mean, I think that the main thing that we should look at is he going to be in a spot where he's going to be able to develop and not necessarily be expected to be, you know, the franchise center from day one?
I think that's fair. And you're talking about guys, I mean, when you say Boston, that's at 6, and the Lakers at 7, and the Magic at 4 or 12. So I think you're right. I think he's probably going to be somewhere in there. I would be shocked if he falls outside the top 10. But again, from what we're hearing, quite a few doctors are coming out and saying, I wouldn't draft him in the top 10. And you're seeing all these reports. Jeff Goodman had a report that one GM said, my doctors told me not to touch him any time outside the or inside the top 10. And so it'll be interesting. I think that will be it almost made the draft something to watch, at least from a KU perspective, because we were talking about, you know, maybe these guys going 1-2 or 1-3, and now it's 1-2, and then maybe who knows. So kind of sad, I guess, that also maybe Embiid could have come back. Is that a thing that we can talk about now that he got
another?
Don't even toy with that.
The best thing for him is to have that surgery now and get it dealt with, because it probably would have become a problem.
I agree. Well, let's say he has a surgery and comes back and is awesome. He'd be a number one pick next year.
We don't know that. Maybe. These are dangerous things to dwell on. Dangerous. Okay, where do you want to see Wiggins go?
I would like him to go number one.
Okay, me too. Okay, just to put a bow on this, my perfect scenario is for our two dudes, no matter what order, 1 and 2.
Okay.
Marcus Smart drops to the second round.
Right.
And gets drafted by Milwaukee in the second round. And then the two Missouri guys don't get drafted and end up playing in Belarus.
I like it.
That is my dream scenario. So be watching on Thursday to see if that's the way it plays out.
So to recap,
I'm crossing my fingers that it happens that way.
So to recap, you got Marcus Smart going 48th overall to the Bucks.
To the Bucks.
That's their 48th pick. You got Embiid and Wiggins going 1-2. And the Missouri guys not going and ended up being in Belarus. I like that. I don't think I have anything to add to that. I think that's the perfect scenario.
That's the dream scenario.
Absolutely. Well, you and I have gotten together and watched the NBA draft for several years running. We're probably going to do that again, most likely at a Johnny's, because it seems like that's where we land. So we will certainly be watching the NBA draft. It'll be a lot of fun on Thursday. So be sure to tune in, watch where the KU guys go. Andrew and I will certainly be tweeting about it and talking a little bit about what happened on the draft on the next podcast. What do you say, Andrew? We get our man Reed Forgrave in here. Of course, you'll know Reed from Fox Sports and Fox Sports 1, and the second time returning to the Jayhawk Talk podcast. What do you say we get him in here to talk a little bit about the NBA draft, and then you and I can run down the KU football stuff and give a little play-by-play of fake Jeff Withey's wedding. Sound good?
Sounds great.
Okay, we'll get Reed in here, and we'll be back soon. Without giving you half of my dough, and even worse, if I was broke, would you want me? If I couldn't get you, find the things like all of them diamond rings. All right, we got Reed Forgrave on the line. You'll remember him as a friend and avid listener of the Jayhawk Talk podcast. Also, you know him as national college hoops writer for Fox Sports and Fox Sports 1, and also our man locking down the NBA draft for Fox Sports. Reed, how you doing tonight?
I am good. I am also, like you are still digesting this last-second goal in the U.S.-Portugal game, which was, I don't know if you can lose in, or it's not even a loss, but it kind of felt like losing.
Felt
you know?
Like it, yeah.
Just brutal.
Yeah, we're obviously recording on Sunday night. We've had a lot of draft news coming out this week, as it is wont to do the week of the draft. But some kind of sad news, especially just the last couple of days with the Embiid news of the foot, and then also Isaiah Austin today with the newfound illness that will keep him away from basketball for his career. Let's start with Joel Embiid, because I think a lot of people, even just 7 days ago, we're saying that Joel Embiid was likely to be the number one pick in the NBA draft. Now, kind of a wild card. So what are you hearing on Joel Embiid?
Yeah, a week ago, an NBA insider told me that it's a sure thing that the Cavs take him. Frankly, I believed him that it was a sure thing, but I'm still was worried about that back issue. He was always at least a little bit of a gambler's pick. Now he's a whole lot of a gambler's pick. I've had people tell me that there's no chance he gets drafted in the top five. Some have even said had him out of the top 10, which that seems very reactionary to me. I'd love, and this is me playing fantasy general manager, I'd love to see him go to the Lakers. I think that is the sort of draft position in this sort of very deep draft where it's okay to take a gamble. Any higher than that, you're passing up on a Noah Vonleh, Dante Exum. You're not taking Aaron Gordon. Those are all guys who I think are much more sure things than Joel. A lot of people are calling, a word I've heard used with him is quote-unquote brittle, which is not what you want to be called when you're about to get paid millions upon millions of dollars. So he, from this one injury, lost millions of dollars. Andrew Wiggins and Jabari Parker each made themselves nearly $1 million over the next 2 years because of this. They each moved up one spot in the draft. It's a pretty sad thing. I don't know if you followed his Twitter. I'm sure you did follow his Twitter account Thursday and Friday and over the weekend. He was posting fun pictures of himself about to go into surgery. He was watching soccer. He was being very positive and frankly just made me like this kid even more. I hope that he's the type of gamble that does pay off. But let's be honest, it's a pretty big gamble, man. You don't want the next Sam Bowie if you're trying to get the next Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah, I agree. And you're mentioning the Lakers. That would be at pick 7. And so is there any chance now that the Cavs would consider, you know, especially because they seem to have their sights set on Embiid, are they now looking to move out of the first pick a little more than they were before, or are they still, you know, holding fast there trying to decide between Parker and Wiggins and some of those other guys?
Or even Dante Exum. I mean, he's working out with the Cavs, so you have to assume if they're working him out that maybe that's because they want to take him with the first pick, or maybe as the rumor's been tossed around over the past couple weeks before Embiid's injury, maybe the Sixers want to move up to the first pick because apparently they are very interested in grabbing Andrew Wiggins. And then they'd move down. The Cavs moved down to third, and maybe they can take Embiid there. There's no scenario where I see Joel Embiid going first. I do think David Griffin of the Cavs, the new general manager, is playing this pretty close to the vest. This is a big deal pick. This is his first draft pick. And it's also coming on the heels of this disaster that is Anthony Bennett. And that, you know, both at the time and in retrospect, just looks like an awful pick. I still think there's a chance that he can develop into a player, but I've had people in the NBA tell me, no, that's not the case. He's just a big athletic body. He's a little bit out of shape and doesn't really understand the game of basketball. So it's a really important pick for the Cavs. It'll be fascinating to see what they do, but I don't think, unless Woj breaks it 2 minutes before the draft starts, I don't think we're going to be seeing too many tips on what David Griffin's going to do there.
Call me crazy, but I think
you're crazy.
Yeah,
you're a KU fan. Of course, you're crazy.
Oh, come on now, you don't mean that. You're a huge KU fan. You're a closet KU fan.
I try not to tell people.
You're a closet KU fan. True. If you don't know, Reed Forgrave actually went to the University of Missouri, but we don't hold that against him because he's a huge KU fan now.
Bill Self, man, the most charming man in the universe, has turned me into that. It's amazing.
It's true. Okay, so call me crazy, which you did, but I think that there's something to be said for perhaps Embiid falling into a situation where, because of his relative lack of basketball play in his career, maybe being able to fall into a situation where it's a little better team instead of being in the first couple picks. You know, maybe he falls to the Lakers or to, you know, not the Kings, but 8, but, you know, like, so maybe 11 or 12. You know, he's looking into a team that maybe has a little bit better structure for him to grow early on as a player. Call me crazy, but maybe it's not the worst thing in the world for his career.
Yeah, I mean, agents tell you you really want that second contract more than the first. Sure. That's where you make the real money. Yeah, he'll lose probably a few million off this injury, but none of that will matter if he's if he fulfills all the potential and all the expectations we're putting on him. So yeah, not the worst thing in the world. I think you're looking kind of hard for a silver lining right there, because it's a huge bummer for a guy who was going to be number one overall. So it takes a little bit of pressure off him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think the Cavs, I know that means you got to move to Cleveland, but the Cavs, I think, would have been, are one of those teams I think stacked with talent. And frankly, if you fall into the Sixers, I think the Sixers are a team that I'm buying low on right now. I think there's a lot of talent on that team. Two draft picks in the top 10 this year in such a deep draft. Going to the Sixers, I think, would have been a great thing for him. But, you know, it all depends on can his body withstand an 80-plus game basketball season. And he wasn't able to withstand a 35-game basketball season in college. It's not to say he won't. I really hope he does. But I'm not sure which team he goes to, if that matters anything compared to what his health is.
Well, I know you've spoken to some doctors and you've been kind of trying to stay ahead of this Embiid injury. What have you heard with regard to his stress fracture in the foot? I mean, what's the, I guess, the doctor side of it, and what are people saying?
Well, this injury, it's a bone that's on the top of the foot. The way it was explained to me by a guy who was the president of this, I think it's called the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics, is basically, think of a paperclip that you bend and bend and bend, and eventually it just breaks. When you're a 7-foot guy and you weigh 250 pounds, and you're very athletic like Embiid, so you're getting really high up in the air, and you're coming down on this hardwood again and again and again, it wears on that bone, and eventually it breaks. And this is a bone that you've seen break in big men in the past. Most famously, Yao Ming, 2 years in a row, had this injury, and it put a pretty quick end to his career with the Rockets. It's not a good injury. It's also, especially when it's found early, which it sounds like it was in this case, there's like an 85% success rate for his surgery. The doctor that I spoke with was not his doctor, but he was optimistic about the idea of a full recovery for him. He said the 4 to 6 months that Embiid's agent is saying is pretty darn optimistic. If we're talking back to 100%, not just, hey, the bone's no longer fractured, we're talking more like 9 months. So it's along the recovery time, along the lines of the recovery time for an ACL. But I think the bigger issue here that we're looking at with Embiid is the lower back stress fracture, now a foot stress fracture. Stress fractures aren't freak injuries. They're not like Nerlens Noel tearing his ACL by hitting the back of the rim, whatever that thing's called. What's the thing called? I don't know what that thing's called.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. You know, that thing.
That thing.
Yeah.
It's called something. Basket support. We'll call it that. It's not like that, though. This is an injury that, especially when you see it happen twice, it does make you wonder. So it's awful timing for him for it to happen now. And not just awful timing in that it's going to affect his draft stock, but it's also, it's a bit of a premonition. Like, okay, is he frankly brittle boned as this NBA insider told me? I think GMs are really running away from this. That said, if you're a team that can gamble a little bit, if you're a team with two first round draft picks, like the Sixers or like the Bulls, I know it's a little bit late, the Magic, exactly. They're at 4th and 12th. I think gambling on him is not a terrible idea, because a week ago we were talking about him being the next Hakeem. That's a Hall of Famer, you know? So I hope people aren't too reactionary on this, but at the same time, this is a very real problem.
Last question on Embiid. We'll move to Wiggins. Where do you personally project him to go? What's your guess?
Hoping and thinking that he goes to the Lakers. I don't have Mitch Kupchak on the line telling me that, but to me, the Lakers are a team that needs. Yeah, good point. Why won't he call me back? yeah, this time of year, the NBA guys don't talk to the college guys. But it's to me that Kobe's in the twilight. I'd love to see them if they don't take a point guard. I'd love to see Marcus Smart go there if he lasts that long, which I don't think he will. But they need a superstar, and Embiid, you're rolling dice, but he could be a superstar.
Interesting stuff. Okay, so now that Embiid is out of the way, most likely as the number one pick, we're talking about Jabari, we're talking about Dante Exum, and we're talking about Andrew Wiggins as potentially the new number one pick for Cleveland. Where do you think that Wiggins will end up?
I think he goes number one. Kansas fans know as well as anyone the frustrating yet tantalizing abilities that Wiggins has shown in basketball games, which are very different than basketball workouts. He is a workout king. He is one of the most athletic guys I'm going to go really far here and make a giant overstatement. One of the most athletic guys we've ever seen to come into the NBA. He's a freak. But the question is, does he have that next level? Does he have that killer instinct? Which overall, he didn't show a KU, but there were a few games. If you remember the second half of that Florida loss in December, the game against Iowa State, the West Virginia game, where he scored 41, I believe. There were times that he showed that killer instinct. It just wasn't all the time. There wasn't that consistent killer instinct. So he's a bit of a gamble. Someone told me that he could be the biggest bust potential in this draft because 15 points a game for 10 years, which would be a very successful NBA career by just about any measure, would be considered a bust for Andrew Wiggins because he has so much abilities. But if you're the Cavs, you have a lot of talent already. I don't think you need an alpha dog on that team. I think Kyrie is the alpha dog there. And I think Kyrie can help facilitate getting Wiggins the ball in spots where he can succeed. So, and everyone is absolutely gushing over his defensive abilities, which can be easy to overlook when you see him tossing in some real, real eggs of games on the offensive end. He's always a stud defensively. So to me, still a bit of a gamble, not near the gamble that Embiid was even before that foot injury, but I like Wiggins number one. I wouldn't be able to pass him up. It's that tantalizing abilities that Bill Self absolutely loved and yet was also frustrated by.
I think you're right. And it will be interesting to see, to track his career going forward. I personally don't know what the heck he'll be in the NBA. All I know is, like you mentioned, it's hard not to see potential there. And I think everyone certainly can agree with that. The question, I guess, is, so you compare him to some other options, Dante Exum, who is also a relative unknown to a lot of people. And you got to think that even with NBA scouting departments, still a guy who's 18 years old. He's a bigger guy, pretty good, on the international side, but kind of a relative unknown. And then you got Jabari Parker, who a lot of people would think that kind of a tweener. He's 6'8", but he's a bigger guy, 240, but is fairly polished. So you might kind of know what you're getting. Maybe not as high a ceiling. So it's really kind of the way you want to play that. Is that kind of the way you think that a lot of these people are thinking?
I mean, if I could channel Donald Rumsfeld for a moment, as we always should on every basketball podcast, I think Jabari Parker is the known known. I think Dante Exum is the unknown unknown, and then I think Andrew Wiggins is the known unknown. We know that he can be good. We just don't know if he will be good. Yeah. Dante Exum is a fascinating player. Interestingly, a guy who is an international coach who's watched this guy play for years told me, I asked him for a player comparison for him, and he's like, he's kind of like an Andrew Wiggins. I just kind of chuckled at that. But he compared him to a Russell Westbrook type, not a true point guard, a guy who's great at getting to the basket, needs to work on his shot, needs to work on his strength. But the problem with taking an Exum is, look, the kid has kind of hidden himself over the past one-plus year. He hasn't played elite competition, not just because he didn't come play American college basketball, but he's kind of shied away from from showing how good he is. It seems like it's working out for him because NBA teams are frothing at the mouth about this kid. You know, what did he have to gain by coming to college, by playing in all the elite tournaments? But there are some international coaches, one in particular, who's a pretty high-level international coach that I spoke with, who says, I don't believe in Exum. I don't think he's going to be that good. So he's a gamble. He's a mystery man of this draft. Someone's going to take him in the top five, and it's just a who knows. Maybe he'll be great. I know if I'm a GM, and I know that my job's being evaluated on it, I'm not sure if he's someone that I'd want to take.
Fair enough. Well, we'll get you out of here in just a minute, but I have one more quick question for you. So you've been covering this pretty hard for Fox Sports over the last few months. So in a non-KU perspective, who are you seeing as a big surprise in the draft, or who's rising, or some sleepers? What are you seeing right now as some potential surprises of the draft coming up this week?
Well, I'm going to toss out a few names. The first one will make all KU fans blood boil. Marcus Smart, I think, can be an absolute star in the NBA. Not a 23-point-a-game type star, but the guy who's just a winner. I have him in my mock draft going to the Magic at 4, which is higher than just about anyone.
Wow, yeah.
But I love the kid. People look at his shooting chart and they say, oh, he's a disaster. People say he can be a sloppy ball handler, a very streaky shooter. But I see a guy who can be all defensive team in the NBA every single year, a guy who can be a leader. Point to the Texas Tech meltdown if you want. I'm going to point to a kid that everyone in USA basketball fell in love with for his leadership abilities. And frankly, having talked to the guy on a handful of occasions, he's got a great head on his shoulders. So to me, I love Smart. I know he's not really a sleeper. One guy who I think has slightly moved up in draft boards, and I'm surprised he hasn't moved up more, Shemaz Napier. A lot of people have him going around 25th, 26th. I saw one that has him go to the Heat, and if he goes to Miami Heat, I think they have the 26th pick. That is, I'm going to pencil in the Heat, with or without Wade or Bosh as my next year's champion, because I think Napier's that good at the point guard position. The guy who has really shot up over the past month, I'm sure you've noticed this, is Elfrid Payton, to people who aren't big fans of college basketball, that's kind of an unknown name. But I saw him play trying out last summer for the USA basketball under-19 team. And he was absolutely held his ground and then some against the high major stars, the Aaron Gordons, the Marcus Smarts, the Jahlil Okafors, those big names that were playing out there. He's one of the few true point guards in this draft, which I think it's a rare quantity. So which is why some people have had him as high as 8, which feels very high for a guy who's an unknown. But people would have said that about Damian Lillard a couple years ago, and that worked out pretty darn well. This is such a deep draft. You can get some solid rotation players in the second round if you do your homework and if you get lucky. I mean, another Big 12 guy, I think DeAndre Kane is another guy who I think it'll probably be a second rounder, but he'll find a role on a team. He can step in and play a role as a backup point guard tomorrow on an NBA team. So Thursday is going to be a fun day, man. It'll be fascinating to see what happened with KU players, but all across the board with the trades, with the people lower in the first round that can be really impact players, it'll be a fascinating day.
It's a big day also for college players, it seems like, because it's not, I mean, we've been almost kind of immune to watching an NBA draft and seeing, the foreign guys go all early. And, you see Dario Saric and all these other people that you never heard of, Jusuf Nurkić. And I know that I'm not pronouncing any of those guys right. But
you actually pronounced both of those correctly.
Well, right on. All right. Good.
Yeah, not bad.
But you're seeing names like Gary Harris and James Young and Rodney Hood and Tyler Ennis and Adrian Payne and Shabazz Napier and McDermott and Randall and Smart. And you're seeing all these guys, Vonley, that you've heard of and watched as a college basketball fan. So that's kind of cool. And I think it'll be interesting, and I know you cover college hoops, so it's got to be kind of cool for you too to have seen a lot of these guys out there and know a little something about them as they transition to the next level.
Absolutely. The cool part about this year's draft, I think it's a very American draft.
Yeah.
If you look at it, there really aren't that many high-level Euro talents. I mean, other than Dante Exum. And there, I just mixed up my continents. The Australian Dante Exum. there aren't really that many high-level Euro guys that we normally see. It's a really strong draft from an American and, frankly, a Canadian perspective, as you guys well know, in Lawrence, Kansas. But, yeah, it's fun to see some of these guys that you've followed for a year, for 2 years, that you even maybe saw come through the recruiting ranks and to see them go and have their day in the sun. I mean, I talked to Doug McDermott for a story last week, and he was in Chicago working out with a bunch of these potential first-rounders. He's been up there for a few months, and he's like, man, and I was talking about how high he thought he'd go. And, you know, this was kind of the politically correct professional answer, but I think he was being honest. It's like, man, I'm just like everyone else. I just can't wait to hear my name called. I'm so excited. It'll be one of the best moments of my life. And it's like, that's what I think makes drafts like this so special. I mean, whatever your political point of view, watching Michael Sam get drafted just had these layers of emotion to it. And every player has that, not just the ones that are put on ESPN as a fifth round draft pick. Every single guy, it's something they've worked their whole life for.
Sure. No, I agree. It'll be fun to watch. We always love watching the NBA draft. I will certainly get together with Andrew, my co-host here on the podcast. We always like to get together at Johnny's and watch the podcast or watch the NBA draft. I'm sure you will be either at the draft or watching it very closely and covering it for Fox Sports. You can find Reed on Twitter at Reed Forgrave. You can follow his work on Fox Sports. And I actually saw your mug on Fox Sports one time recently. I can't remember what I was watching, but now his face is on TV, which is brutal. But
ooh. Painful. Hey, they'll put anyone on TV these days, right?
Apparently so. Hey, man, we really appreciate you coming on. We will, you know, this is the second time you've come on the podcast, so we're supposed to, like, get you a gift or something, like a watch. I don't know.
I'll
buy you a
big
beer.
Big A-Hawk watch, right?
There you go. I'll buy you a beer next time I'm in Des Moines, Iowa to see you at the Bates Shop. There.
Great place. Great. We're going to get a sponsorship to go along with you guys, Johnny's thing, right?
I love that idea. El Bait Shop would be a great option. We will certainly be happy to come up to Des Moines and partake in a few of their nice craft beers. Well, hey, thanks, buddy. We appreciate it. We'll see you next time on, I'm sure, for a third time on the Jayhawk Talk podcast very soon.
Let's do it for sure, my man.
All right. Thanks a lot. Have a great night.
All right, brother. Talk to you soon.
All righty. All right, we are back. Thanks again to Reed for joining us. We know he's listening to this right now, so hey, Reed, thanks a lot. We will catch you next time on the Jayhawk Talk podcast. Andrew, let's talk about some football.
So what do we have to talk about?
Well,
what's the big news? Okay, go ahead.
The biggest news. So there were two news items since we've last been on. Number one, Jay Keeps officially transferred to the University of Miami, which will be interesting.
That was a surprise. That was a surprise that it was the University of Miami. We speculated that it was going to be some, you know, bulge or championship subdivision team like North Dakota State or something.
So
that's Miami, what we had speculated. But goes to the U.
The U. You know, Miami does need some quarterback help. So it will be interesting to see. I would not think that they would bring him in if they didn't think that he would compete right away for a position. So that will be something to watch for KU fans, and you know, I think we all know how this is going to end. Jay Keeps is going to go to University of Miami and take him to a 10-2 season, and they're going to win some huge bowl, and we're all going to be sad but happy for Jay Keeps because he finally found an offense that works for him. But the other news, Andrew, big news in KU football fandom: the track around Memorial Stadium is officially going to be no longer. Starting Tuesday, they are going to rip up the track that is well-known among track circles. Lots of big track things have happened on that track, but that track will no longer be around Memorial Stadium. They're going to fill it with new, you know, whatever that stuff is, that green playing field turf stuff. Build that all in. It'll be a little safer, supposedly, for the athletes because there's not a track there. It's now the green field stuff. And then they're going to get rid of probably the second biggest eyesore in Memorial Stadium, that chain link fence around the edge, and you're going to replace it with a nice decorative fence.
What does that mean? Decorative fence?
I have no idea. Like
white picket fence?
No. I assume it's like one of those fences that has like Jayhawks on the inside of it, like maybe like iron fence.
And oh,
like
okay.
Like that's what I'm envisioning. They haven't asked me, you know, it's kind of surprising, but if they were to ask me, that's what I would recommend.
Great. So I am not as big of a hater on the track as you are.
Ugh.
Or you have been. I would like to see it gone, and it's you know, I'm glad it's gone, but I really didn't care. Maybe it was just one of those things where it never really bothered me, but I know it bothers a lot of people.
Blech.
Like you. I mean, that the noise you're making, a lot of people make that noise about the track. I never really cared. I didn't mind.
We're the last stadium in Division I college football that had a track around their football stadium.
Well, we do have the new the Kansas
Rock Chalk Park.
Rock Chalk Park, and I've driven by a couple times. Place looks great.
Yeah.
Place looks amazing. Yeah, there's a lot going on out there, a lot to that facility. So, you know, it just took a multi-million dollar expenditure to build this new facility to get rid of the track. I ultimately think that that's why they did it. It's like, well, if we're going to get rid of the track, we got to put the track somewhere else. How about we spend millions and millions of dollars building this other thing so we can take the track out? So you got your way. You got your way. Just it took, GDP of Ghana to get there.
It's kind of embarrassing, I guess. It was not so much that I hated the track, because lots of, you know, big sporting things have happened on that track. You know, historical people going back, Jim Ryan running on that track, and all the Kansas relays things that have happened there, and whatever else. But you look at like pictures of KU football games, and you see like taken from that one vantage point, which coincidentally is also where our tickets are. Anytime you take a picture from our seats, it goes track, football stadium, track, chain link fence. And it looks like a high school. It truly does. And that was the thing that bothered me a lot. So anyway, it's not a huge change. It's a small change in the right direction. It's not a new stadium, which is a lot of people's, end game or big goal, but kind of it's a nice change.
I was never a pro track guy, so I guess I'm happy to see it go, but oh well.
The one thing is, I think a lot of people are ready for a new stadium because KU now is among the, probably as stadiums go, on the very low end in Division I and certainly in the Big 12. And, the problem is, you know, you got a Memorial Stadium. This is a stadium devoted to, is it World War I, I think? Is that right? Is it one or two? I think it's one, our Memorial Stadium. Anyway, because of it being a memorial, there are special things that you can't quite do. So I think a lot of people would like to see just, hey, let's just build a stadium over on the other side of Castle or whatever, or on the other side of Iowa. It doesn't seem like that's going to happen anytime soon. So this is phase 1A of hopefully many phases to change the football stadium into a legitimate stadium, because it's not there yet. But of course, you're going to have some wins to get that going. Hopefully we'll see that happen this year. But I thought it would be something to pass along. The track
baby
is
steps.
Now gone. Baby steps.
Baby steps, Kevin. Step one, remove the track. Step two, remove the chain link fence. Step three, gridiron club.
Oh, man. I forgot about the gridiron club. The gridiron club is no longer. That is not happening. There's
what?
No gridiron. Nope. Shocker. Spoiler alert. No gridiron
club. I thought that was coming like fall 2009.
Yeah, it was supposed to.
It was 2010.
They did like a mock-up. Like they basically just paid an intern to draw up that gridiron club.
Looked amazing.
That was not a real thing. That was not ever going to be a thing.
It was the greatest joke they've ever pulled on us.
Yeah. All right. Well,
let's finish up here. Okay. Something a little more positive. Let's talk about the union of two souls coming together.
Mm-hmm.
This is none other than your friend and ours. You know, the listening audience, your friend, ours. Fake Jeff Withy, otherwise known as Ty, got married yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the privilege of attending said wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a great time.
Yeah, it was nice.
Did you have a good time?
I did.
A couple observations. Everyone was wearing coral.
Mm-hmm.
Including me. I kind of had an orange.
You did.
Coral-ish shirt on. Otherwise, Jeff Withy was there.
Sure. Big Jeff.
Which, how about that?
Yeah. You know, it's kind of funny. You look at a fake account. You know, I'm sure you all know the story. They became good friends. And then the real Jeff Withy came to fake Jeff Withy's wedding. That's cool, man. He flew in. It wasn't here. He was there for just the wedding. And anyway, kind of neat. Any other observations?
He did walk in with a six-pack of beer-aritas.
Razzaritas. They are Razzaritas. They have, of course... That's the, you know, they started with the Lime-a-rita. It's like the Bud Light Lime with like a lime in it. And it turned into like a sort of a margarita, but really it's just Bud Light with lime crap shit in it. And then they changed it to Razz-a-rita. Now they got all these different flavors. So you see 6'11 Jeff Withy, who looks very skinny, by the way. He's looking very skinny. He needs to spend some more time in the hoodie. Anyway, he walks in with a six pack of Razz-a-rita around his hands. The first thing we're like, hey, there's Jeff Withy. Hey, there's Jeff Withy carrying a six pack of Razzarita, which I don't know where he's going with that, but I'd like to think that he just drank all of them.
I'd like to think it. Let's just assume he did.
Yeah.
Just like that's his thing, you know, like, oh, Razzarita night.
Mm-hmm.
Every night's Razzarita night in the Withy household. But I guess my last observation was they did a pretty good first dance.
Yes.
Choreographed number that, I don't think they'd mind us sharing.
No, go ahead.
It involved, it was long. It's probably 10 minutes long.
A lot of choreography.
It was five or six different songs.
Extensive worth of choreography.
There was some Usher involved. And of course, your favorite and mine, there was some Kesha involved.
Yes.
And during the line of throw some glitter, make it rain.
Mm-hmm.
They threw confetti with glitter and Tied through a bunch of $1 bills into the air. So he made it rain at his own wedding.
On his brand new wife.
And I think that, you know, for fake Jeff Withy, that's there's no other way to do it.
Made a lot of sense to me.
It just fit.
Yeah.
It fit.
It was a good time.
But, yeah, so congratulations to them. We had a great time.
Mm-hmm. We thought about getting into the photo booth with Jeff Withy. But then it was going to be a little awkward because he was really tall and he takes up a lot of the room in there. So we're like, hey, can we fit in there, Jeff? You know, can we come in? And then we didn't do that because that would have been weird. So we just sat there and watched him do photo booth. We're not sure what he did in there, but it probably involved putting on a weird wig and like having some like little things to hold. That's usually what those photo booths are, right?
Yeah. And people for some reason find them hilarious.
Hilarious. Yeah. Well, we didn't do photo booth, but we'll do our own photo booth sometime. But Ty, congratulations on your wedding. Hopefully now that you're done with your extensive 10 hours a night of choreography practice, you can come join us in the swoosh bags and some trivia for the first time in 6 months.
It was a good sports weekend. It was a good wedding weekend. We've got the... World Cup game looked on Thursday to look forward to. Mm-hmm. We've got the NBA draft Thursday night to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
And let's hope that our boys go 1-2.
I think it's going to happen. More importantly, I think that your boy, Marcus Smart, is going to fall to 48 to the Milwaukee Bucks. So,
yeah, so we'll none of this is probably likely. I don't think Embiid's going to go in the top two. But, you know, cross your fingers. That's all right.
Just hope he ends up somewhere he likes where it's going to be good for him, good situation. I'm sure Wiggins will be in a good spot as well. So we will certainly watch that. We will keep an eye on it, give you guys updates on Jayhawk Talk and at Sherlock Hoops on Twitter. You can reach us there. Feel free to leave a comment on iTunes. Give us a rating. We really appreciate that. We will catch you next time on the Jayhawk Talk podcast. Until then. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks, Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. I tried to tell them, every time we on the court. I tried to tell them that we never coming up short. I tried to tell them that we came here to get the win. I tried to tell them that they should never let us in. They say that we the best, but I say we the greatest. That's why they try to knock us down and always seem to hate us. That's why they talk about us. They know they can never fade us. It's tradition and that Kansas pride that has truly made us. They know just how we feel. They know at Allen Field that we gon' keep it real. Shout out to Bill. This for them fans that waited off in them long lines, camped out before the games, and they stayed a long time. Every dollar that we spend just to watch our team win, on a Jayhawk shirt or a new clean Benz with a sticker on the back with the K and the U. Uh-huh, yeah, baby, that'll make you say, ooh. We at the top of the top, just like we should be. Started from the bottom, thanks to what James could see. Dr. Naismith made a game for man, changed lives for the players, and did the same for the fans. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, baby. All them years that we've been cheering, everything that we've been hearing, all them spreads that we've been clearing, never been no team we fearing, and look how Bill got us steering, all them tournaments appearing with no team that's interfering, nine times get the cheering with them banners held high, and the crowd going wild, night before the final four, you can't even sleep now, yeah we at the peak now, we can't even leap down, March Madness, man, we've been waiting weeks now, if you a Hawks fan, go ahead and hold them ones high. Shout out to the boosters showing love and the alumni. I'm speaking for the fans, even though I'm just one guy. We appreciate the love, love won't run dry. Imagine the state of Kansas with no Jayhawks. That's like having no streets but trying to jaywalk. They see us as support and we see them on the court. So we keep it loud and do our best so we don't come up short. We win together and we lose together. But win or lose, we still booze together. Struggles in my life will change me as a man. But one thing that'll never change, I'll be a Jayhawk fan. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock, Chuck, Jayhawk in your faces. I ain't even gotta really say it. This one for the fans, that's why I made it. March Madness, here we can't be faded. Rock, Chuck, Jayhawk in your faces. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. Hawks. And if you love it, then I love it, cause we Hawks, this baby. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks. This for my Jayhawk fans, for my Jayhawks.
Like, I want you to keep up your energy, but, like, don't. You're kind of like, I know you're drunk right now. Okay.
The music started, dude. All right, here we go. Welcome in to another edition of the Jayhawk Talk podcast. I am Kevin. Joined with me, as always, my podcast co-host and partner in Jayhawk Crime, Andrew. How you doing, Andrew?